Welcome to Christ Church International's podcast. We are a faith-filled, spirit-filled gathering of believers living for the dream of Jesus. Souls from every nation, one at a time. We are based out of northern Colorado in a beautiful and vibrant city called Longmont. Come join us as we proclaim Jesus is Lord to our generation. Our key verse for this year is Hebrews 9:11. Jesus has become the high priest of good things to come for you.
Well, there's a couple things that I need to do this morning, and I'm thrilled that you're here to participate in this, and the Lord has some really good things for us, and I want to try and put some things in context, and it's important that I do that, because if I don't, some of you won't have a clue what's happening or why it's happening. And so those of you who are kind of guests with us today, thank you for being here. And we're going to get on to Dr. Savelle in just as soon as we can. And that's going to be just really amazing. But I'd like to put some things in context. You know, years and years ago, you know, we have to live by the word of the Lord, not by tradition or not the way other things go. I remember one of the prophecies spoken over Patty and me years ago was, don't pattern your ministry after anybody else. I think, well, oh my. So, and I look back and I think, well, I guess we haven't. You know, I tried to preach like Brother Jerry. It doesn't happen. You know, because I have to be me. I tried to preach like Derek Prince, and it just doesn't happen. You know, it just doesn't. I can't do it. You know, I don't have the accent either. So, you know, there's just a number of those things. And Brother Hagin, the only thing I got of Brother Hagin's is this, you know, the thumb twiddle. You know, that's the only thing I know how to do. And so, but the Lord said to me, don't build a church, grow a family. And I thought, well, okay, praise the Lord. And I think over these years, we've done that. We've got some family members who are delinquent, but every family does, it seems. But you know what? That's okay. We've obeyed the Lord. And then, you know, Patty and I have lived by this, and this church has lived by this. He said, the Lord told me once, he said, if you'll be about my business, I'll be about your business. And you know something? We've lived on that word when there didn't seem any way possible. And God has been great, gracious to us. And you know, as a pastor, I want everybody in the church to say, my church. And I know when someone says Mark and Patty's church, I know their heart's not with us.
That's right.
It's not bad. It's just their heart's not with us. And you know, it was a few years ago, I had a revelation. I've been a partner. We've been partners with the Savelles for years and years. And I had a revelation riding up to the Wyoming Chariots of Light ride a few years ago. And I thought, oh, I can't say that, Lord. So I asked Bill. I asked Brother Jerry if I could say something the very first night as we prayed before we went to the meeting. And I got up and said, welcome to my tour. It's not my tour. This man's sweat over it. He's bled over it. He's borne the burden of it. How can I say that? Because I'm a covenant partner.
Yeah, that's
right. See, and so this, it's my chariots of light. So, well, you don't have, it's my chariots of light. I'm a partner.
That's right.
And those of you in this church, I hope it's my church, not just Mark and Patty's church. And so there's that. So I'm just taking today, this my church is here, and my ministry's here. Okay? Okay, so because of that, there's just some things I've got to share here, and I'm trying to do this as quick as I can, but I got to be accurate in what I say. You know, every family's got one of those people. You know, Uncle so-and-so, it's like, well, yeah, Uncle so-and-so. but you know what? He's part of the family. You know what? We love him. And I think that sometimes they go, oh, Mark, oh, man, it's Mark. Woo-hoo, but we love him anyway. You know? Thank you, Don. I am God's gift to you guys. Oh, Jesus. That's why you're supposed to pray for your pastor. Amen. So, you know, there's a plaque I saw one time in Estes Park when we were up there just kind of being the tourist, you know, and I wish I'd have bought it, but it said something like this. It was a little plaque that said, as far as anybody knows, we're a normal family. And I thought, so, you know, everybody else knows we're a normal family. We know the truth, though, don't we? Praise the Lord. Okay, now so all of that to say this, so I can lay a foundation for the next thing. Is I've been pastoring in this area for years and years. Matter of fact, I think I may be the senior pastor in Longmont. I am the senior pastor in Longmont. And if not in Boulder County, very, very close. And so I was out And our ministry has always been an intercessory ministry. It's always been a prayer ministry. And the Lord said to me, I'll raise up as many people as needed for you to carry out your ministry of intercession. And so I was in the national park. We actually drove by the spot yesterday coming down. It's a great place to pray, by the way. And I was up praying, and I was crying. Have any of you cried before the Lord? I was just broken, weeping before God, and I was complaining. And I'm sorry, pray for me. I know you don't ever do that. But I said, oh, God. And out of my heart, you know, that deep calling to God, I said, Lord, as long as I don't have a building, I'll be considered an illegitimate pastor. You know that's true. And the Spirit of Jesus rose up in me, and he said this. He said, that's exactly what they thought of me. My crying continued, but my complaining stopped. And I knew that was a place of intercession for me that I had to live out and I had to bear out and take the shame and the pain and everything else that went with it. We've had dozens of people, dozens and dozens. If I had everybody that was part of my church over the years, we'd have a huge church. But people have got to have a building. So I've had to bear that out and the shame. I'm talking to family now. Woohoo, Mark. As far as everybody knows, except now, it's out, except for you guys. But I want to share something with you, and I believe the Lord has said to us that that phase is over. There's a new phase coming. 2.5 years ago, Patty and I took a sabbatical to Hawaii, and I could believe for 3 months. I wish I could have had the faith for 6, you know, but I had for 3 months, and so we left. I told my board when I got back, I said, I added it up, and you guys still owe me 21 months of sabbatical. But at any rate, and I'm hearing a call again, Patty. So we went to Hawaii for 3 months and just did, so we sought the Lord and we enjoyed one another and we had a great time. But we came back, with a new vision. But in the meantime, Matthew began to pastor. And I knew he'd carry our heart for you. And he'd carry the vision forward, souls from every nation, one at a time. I knew he would carry that forward. And so, as I've been watching Matthew, this is really something. This, by the way, is what we have used kind of as an example. It's a running baton that they use in a race. And the ministry here that we're called to pray for, this is my ministry of intercession. One side is souls from every nation. The other side is the release of end-time finances. How many know you got to have it? Dr. Savelle knows you need it. And so that's the call and the heart of this ministry. But I've watched Matthew begin to lead us, and I've been watching the Spirit of God begin to give him vision and give him direction. And it's really precious. You know, I knew he had the heart for you guys. Matthew, people make fun of him because he wants to live morally. I've watched it. He knows how to rightly divide the word of truth. I've watched him. He grew up, all my boys grew up listening to Dr. Savelle. Dr. Savelle is a household word at the Spencer home. The house of Spencer honors the house of Savelle. But I'm going to tell you, Dr. Savelle, whenever I'm out working in my garage, you're the politest, kindest guy. If the phone rings or a tool is on, you'll pause and wait for me to get finished until you'd start again. And I and he'll pick the right. Matter of fact, he'll repeat himself numerous times for me. But you know what I'm going here is with. You need to understand something is, Matthew has been really pastoring this church, and God's been speaking to him and directing him. And the vision for 400 by 2019 was the word of the Lord to Matthew. The word of the Lord to Matthew has come about a building in the city for the church and a building in the country for the ministry. Matthew was the key. Was the key guy with Kenneth Copeland Ministries. He ran that ministry. So successful. We saw initially 50 people. Now we're over 250. And after you guys left last night, Christina, wherever she's at, and Matthew led somebody to the Lord. Yeah, awesome. See, so things are really moving, and I'm excited about that. Matthew and Bernhardt are reaching out to the German-speaking world with a fresh vision, and we're excited about that. And missions continues, and so Matthew is doing these sort of things, and matter of fact, last night I got home, opened the email, and I got an email from Daniel in DePaul, and he said, I want Matthew to come in October. and I'm going to take him. I was in East Nepal doing a conference where they'd never had somebody from the West. And he says, I'm taking him clear to the west side of Nepal where we've never had a conference. And we're going to go into India. And so we've been watching the anointing on Matthew. We've been watching the call on Matthew. And so here is what is going to happen today. I was praying and I thought, you know what? Matthew and I have already talked about this. We knew that he needed to be ordained. He's also called to business, but we knew he needed to be ordained. And I thought, could it be possible when our bishop is here? Could it be possible? So I got on the phone with trembling. And I called Brother Joe. And I wasn't trembling because I was afraid, but how do you ask that kind of a favor? And so I said, Brother Joe, and he said, I'll get back. He said, I know what Brother Jerry will say. I said, Brother Jerry needs to be in on this. And so Carolyn Rutan called me back, and she said, Brother Jerry said yes. And so Matthew today, come here, bro. Come here, son. So, amen. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord. Father, we worship you. We praise you, Father. We magnify you. And so I just want to ask Brother Jerry to come, and he said that he would pray for Matthew and set him in office as the Lord would lead and ordain him into the ministry. Congregation, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Jerry, come.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Go ahead and be seated for just a moment. Thank you, Lord. Matthew, I'm extremely proud of you. And just watching you this morning, it was obvious that the Spirit of the Lord is on your life. It's obvious you have a heart for God. I leaned over to you, Father, and said, don't you love it when you see your seed serving God and taking it to the next level? You know, I watched that with Brother John Osteen. I've known Joel since he's this big, and to see how God has used Joel to take that ministry to the next level. You know, and with my own family, my daughters, taking our ministry to the next level. And I have no doubt that the anointing on your life is going to take this ministry to the next level. Praise God. Amen. I want to read something to you. The Apostle Paul wrote to his son in the Lord, Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And he says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Even though obviously your mom and dad, you know, knowing the call of God on your life, would want you in the ministry. But according to what Paul says, it's God who puts us in the ministry. Amen. You know, it's not your parents. It's not Grandma, Aunt Minnie, Uncle Jack, even though they all, you know, often pray, Lord, I know the calling of God's on that boy's life. You know, let's put him in the ministry. But it's God. And the beautiful thing is, God saw this day from the foundation of the earth. Amen. He's had you on his mind a long, long time, even before you were formed in your mother's womb. You know, when I accepted the call in 1969, nobody had ever heard me say one time in my young life that I wanted to be a preacher, because I didn't, even though I knew I had the call of God on my life since I was 11 years old. But the moment I told my parents, thinking they'd be totally shocked, my mom said, well, son, that doesn't surprise me. When you were born, 20 minutes later, your grandmother looked up at your dad and I and said, this boy will preach. But they'd never told me that story. I never knew that. I never knew that all the way back, as far as we could trace, on my mother's side, on my dad's side, preachers as far as we could trace. And most of them, I come by this ministry honest, most of them were circuit riding preachers. Most of them rode mules from city to city to preach the gospel. Hallelujah, I fly jets. Amen. And I took it to the next level, praise God. Amen. But it was God who put me in the ministry. And notice also Paul says, and he enabled me. So that means you're already equipped with everything you will ever need on this earth to fulfill what God's called you to do. He has put you in the ministry, and he has enabled you through the Holy Ghost, through the anointing, through his giftings, and through his graces to enable you to fulfill everything that you're called to do. And then it says in verse 18, Paul gave this charge to Timothy. And I'm going to put your name in it. This charge I commit unto thee, son Matthew, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, and holding faith. Prophecies that have been spoken over you regarding your life and ministry. Paul has told Timothy, take those prophecies, wage a good warfare with them, and keep holding on to your faith. So I say to you today, God put you in the ministry. God's equipped you with everything you need. Now take every prophetic word he's spoken over you, wage a good warfare with him, and by all means, don't ever let go of your faith. Because it's your faith that enables you to overcome everything Satan may throw your way. Amen. Amen. You have a bright future, and failure and defeat are not in it. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give the Lord a good shout of praise. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts, it says that after they had prayed, they sensed that it was the right thing to do, to lay hands on Saul and Barnabas and to separate them into the ministry that God had called them to. So you folks have prayed, I've prayed, the Holy Ghost is pleased, we're pleased. And now I want all the congregation, especially those of you that this is your church, I want you to set yourself in agreement with what's about to take place. And from the moment we lay hands upon Matthew, from that moment, look upon him differently. Now be careful that you don't do what the people in Nazareth did where Jesus was concerned. Oh, we know him. He's the carpenter's boy. We know him. He's Mark and Patty's boy. They didn't recognize him as the man God spoke through Isaiah and prophesied about, and they missed out on a visitation. This is not just Mark and Patty's boy. This is the called of God. Amen. So you acknowledge that, recognize that, and treat him as such. Amen. You promise to do that? All right. All of you stretch your hands toward him. Let's stand as we do it. And as we lay hands upon him, you pray in the Holy Ghost. And we're going to separate him, even though God's already done that. We're just acknowledging today what God has already established. Father, we thank you for Matthew. We thank you for his commitment to the call of God on his life. We thank you for his deep commitment to serve the Lord uprightly, to not only be a man of God, but a godly man. And we thank you, Father, for the anointings, the graces, the giftings that you've placed upon him, that you've equipped him with, that you've enabled him with. And we fully believe, without doubt, that he will fulfill everything you've called him to do, everything you've called this ministry to do. And we believe that it is now in position to go to the next level because of the anointing and the grace that is on him, coupled together with the anointing and the grace that is on his parents. Your word says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? And they're in agreement with their vision, agreement with what God's called them to do. And we believe in Jesus' name that they shall fully accomplish everything to the last detail that you put them on this earth to do. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, as someone who's had the privilege and the honor of making impartation into Matthew's life from a young boy through our teachings and through our resources, I lay my hands upon him, and I'm believing, Heavenly Father, just as it happened to me when my mentors and my colleagues And those that had made impartation into my life, when they laid their hands on me, anointings that were on their lives came into my life. And so I'm believing for the same thing to happen to Matthew today in the name of Jesus.
Amen. I receive
it. Hallelujah.
Amen. I receive it.
We set you apart unto the ministry and the office that God has called you to, and believing and agreeing with you that you have been empowered, endued, equipped, and enabled with everything heaven has to offer to fulfill the call of God on your life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a good shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You want to say anything before I get in the Word? I've already been in the Word, but before I get in the Word again? Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Praise God. And when I grow up, I want to be as tall as you. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. I'm real tall on the inside. Hallelujah. Thank you. God bless you, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow, that's fun. Getting to be a part of what God has already established. Amen. Hallelujah. And Pastor Mark and Patty, let me express to you and from my wife, my family, my staff, how appreciative we are of the covenant relationship we have with you guys and for your partnership in our ministry all these years, serving on our president's cabinet. And we just love and appreciate you both and your family so very, very much. Amen. And Matthew, since when is this trip to
October?
And the two of you are going? Just him? Well, I'm paying for it. Okay, so you let me know what the expenses are. And I'm sending you, praise God. Okay? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and just bless the Lord this morning. Father, we worship you. We thank you for your goodness. What an awesome God you are. Thank you, Lord, for giving me utterance in the Holy Ghost this morning to speak boldly as I ought to speak. And may your anointing touch every life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. All of you chariots of light, and all of you that have been traveling with us this week, stand up. Some of them have had to go back home, but we still got a great group here with us. Give them a good hand. Praise God. Amen. And all of you be seated except the pastors and their spouses that are with the chariots of light. Look at all the pastors and ministers. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Bill and Ginger Horn, our national directors, you guys stand, give them a good hand. What an awesome, awesome team we have. Praise the Lord. When God sent me Bill and Ginger, I said again, I know I must be God's favorite child. Hallelujah. You guys are such a blessing to me. Hallelujah. Got your Bibles with you? Let's open them, first of all, this morning to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. And while you're turning there, let me make a few statements to you in preparation for what the Lord has given me to say to you. Many of you have already heard me talk about this, either by tape or been in a meeting. Of course, the people that are traveling with us, they've heard me say it every service so far. The prophetic word that came to me for 2014 was this: never stop celebrating what I've already done. That's what the Spirit of God is saying. Don't ever stop celebrating what I've already done. There's just something about having an attitude of gratitude. Amen? I see throughout the Bible one particular story in the Gospels where the ten lepers that were calling on Jesus to cleanse them of their leprosy. And they were standing afar off. They weren't allowed in that village. So they were shouting at Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." He said, "Go show yourself to the priest." See, Jesus calls things that are not as though they were. Under the Levitical law, if a leper was cleansed, the next thing he did was go show himself to the priest, and the priest confirm it, and then they were welcomed back into the village. And so Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest." He was speaking of things that were not yet as though they were. And the beautiful parts, the Bible says, as they went. They didn't argue. They didn't say, "Wait a minute, we can't go to the priest. You don't understand. We have leprosy." The Bible says immediately, as they went, faith in what he said, they were all cleansed. All 10 of them were cleansed. But it says, but when one of them saw that he was cleansed, he came back and fell at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him. Amen. The one with the attitude of gratitude. Now, they were all cleansed, but he was the only one, the Bible said, was made whole. Leprosy has a way of decaying the flesh. And, you know, these men that were the other 9 that were cleansed, they didn't have leprosy anymore, but you could have possibly still seen evidence of it. You know, if they were missing part of their nose, part of their ear, part of their elbow, or whatever. You could tell these guys used to have leprosy. They don't have it anymore. They used to, but they were cleansed. But the one who had the attitude of gratitude was made whole. In other words, he was not only cleansed, there was no evidence he ever had leprosy. Amen. Amen. So an attitude of gratitude goes a long ways with God. It's the same way with me. You know, I live my life to be a blessing to other people. That's the greatest joy my wife and I have, is blessing other people. But you know, people that never say thank you, it tends to want you to pass them by the next time. You know, last year, I don't know who needs this, but I'm going to say it. Last year, there was a family that were without an automobile. And the man couldn't go to his job without an automobile. They were going to fire him if he didn't show up, obviously. And he needed an automobile. And I found out about it. And so Carol and I bought them an automobile. It wasn't a brand new. It was a great, nice, used automobile. Paid cash for it and gave it to him. That was last year. I hadn't heard thank you yet. It's just like, well, you just, you know, Brother Jerry's blessed. It's his obligation to do this kind of thing. No, it's not my obligation to do anything for anybody, you know. I mean, I could hoard all this up on myself. I wouldn't be pleasing God. Or I could, you know, I could pray and the Lord say, well, they won't be grateful, so bless somebody else. But I bless them, and I'm still yet to hear a thank you. I don't understand that. That's not the way I was raised. In fact, my mom is in heaven. If I was not a person who would show gratitude when things are done for me, my mom would come down and whip me. I was just raised, and I've raised my children that way. In fact, since they were little girls, and to this day, if people do something for my children, I'm telling you, they're going to get a thank you note in the mail. Not only thank you in your presence, but you'll wind up with a note, because we taught them to do that. Show gratitude. We've taught our grandchildren to do that. Show gratitude. Amen. You know, I have 2 granddaughters. They're, one of them 17, the other's 15, and ever since they were born, you know, they love their papa. In fact, all my grandchildren love their papa. To my grandchildren, I am El Shaddai, Papa. I'm the grandfather who does exceeding abundant above all they can ask or think, you know. And to this day, you know, those teenage granddaughters, I mean, you know, Carolyn, you say, I don't want them to grow up because when they get older, they won't want to be around us. They just want to be around their friends. I said, no, not our granddaughters. And to this day, I mean, we get in a crowd of you know, ball games or something, and there's our granddaughters. They're both cheerleaders, you know, and man, they'll come running and hug us right in front of their friends and kiss us, and Mimi, Papa, oh, we love you. You're the best grandparent. And both my granddaughters, they tell me this all the time. You're the coolest Papa in the world. You know what that'll get you? A trip to the mall every time. Amen. Yeah, I reward their gratitude. Hallelujah. Amen. And so does God. You want to keep the cycle of blessing flowing in your life? Be grateful. Hallelujah. Amen. So the prophetic word was, don't ever stop celebrating what I've already done, and now expect even greater. And it will come. Amen. How many of you know God has greater things in store? And then he said this. Now, I'm just giving you an excerpt from that full prophetic word, and you can download all of it on our website. But the second line in it was, and a new wave of my glory is what shall be seen, for this is my plan for 2014. A new wave of God's glory. Everybody say that with me. A new wave of God's glory is what shall be seen. Say it. A new wave of God's glory is what shall be seen, for this is his plan for 2014. Can you say amen? Now, that's my assignment. Every year when the Lord gives me the prophetic word for the coming new year, then my assignment becomes preach about that everywhere I go, no matter what nation I'm in, no matter whether they are spiritually mature or not, just preach it everywhere you go. And of course, as I do, there's a spiritual law at work. Give, and it shall be given. The more I preach it, the more insight I gain. Hallelujah. The more revelation I get on it, which in turn causes me to preach more about it. And then I expect more revelation. And God just keeps pouring it. Man, yesterday I didn't go on the ride with everybody and wanted to, because I've done that ride up to Estes Park many times and love it. But I just knew the Lord had some things to say to me, so I stayed in my room and just fellowship with the Lord. And I'm telling you, that hotel room got too little real quick. Man, when God shows up in your hotel room, wherever God shows up, wherever you're at, it gets too small then, because he's just a big God. Amen? And he began to share some things with me yesterday that are right hot off the press, and I'm going to bring them to you this morning. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things that I knew this, and the Lord repeated it to me yesterday, was this. Throughout history, God has manifested his glory among his people, and the pattern seems to be it always happens when they're encountering some of their greatest challenges. Think about that. Throughout history, God has always manifested his glory. And it seems to be the pattern that it always happens. That's not to say that it can't happen any other time. But when God's people are facing their greatest challenges, you just watch. It won't be long. The glory of the Lord will manifest. Now, we need to understand what the glory of the Lord is all about. And if you study your Bible, particularly Exodus 32 through 34 in particular, you'll discover that the three main characteristics of the glory of the Lord is, number one, the manifested presence of God. Number two, the manifested power of God. And number three, the manifested goodness of God. Those three primary characteristics make up the glory of God. You know, if you were asking a lot of Christians today, what is the glory of God? You'd get all kind of answers. Now, His presence can manifest in various ways. In the Old Testament, it manifested in the form of smoke sometimes, or a cloud. But I don't think that's really what God is saying to us, that there's going to be greater smoke and greater clouds in the last days. Well, if he wants to do that, I welcome it. But I don't think that's really what he's talking about. Now, I have been in services. I've been in services twice in the 45 years I've been in the ministry where the presence of God came in a service in the form of a cloud, and we couldn't even see one another in that building. And it just settled in that service, and we couldn't see one another. In fact, you weren't interested in seeing one another anymore. And we just bask in the presence of God, and healings were immediate and automatic, praise God. Why? Because in His presence, His enemies are scattered. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I've experienced that personally in visitations of the Lord in my hotel room, where my wife and I experienced it in 1981 in Charlotte, North Carolina, where the Shekinah glory of God came into our room. We couldn't even see the furniture anymore. And we just bask in the presence of God. And He gave me a message in the midst of it. It was amazing. I grabbed my legal pad that was over on the end table in that suite we were in. And I started writing everything Jesus said to me. Filled up an entire legal pad. Somebody said, well, how long was He there? To me, it seemed like hours, but it was that quick. Which says to me, Jesus can say more in a second than most preachers can in a lifetime. Amen. And boy, when I left that room that night, and Brother Copeland, I was preaching with him in his East Coast Believers Convention. He didn't know this had happened in the natural, because Carolyn asked me, she said, you going to tell Brother Copeland what just happened? I said, no, I'm not saying a word. We're going over that final service that night, Saturday night, and I'm not telling anybody unless somebody asked me about it, you know. Well, Brother Copeland got up to preach that night and couldn't preach. He tried three different times. Let's open our Bibles. Never told us where. And he just stood there, you know, with his arms on that pulpit and piercing eyes. And we're all wondering, where does he want us to open our Bibles? He tried three times. Open your Bibles. And then he just shut up. Finally, he closed it and said, Jerry, get up here. God visited you today. Come tell us what He said. Amen. And I preached that message that Jesus gave me in that visitation that night. And that message went around the world and affected, I'm going to say, millions of people through that one visitation, praise God. Amen. So I welcome the Shekinah glory. If He wants to, you know, increase our experiences in that, make it greater, I welcome that. But the three primary characteristics of the glory of God is His manifested presence, His manifested power, and His manifested goodness. Now, with that in mind, notice here in Exodus chapter 3, what's the condition of His people at that time? They're facing their greatest challenges. It says in Exodus chapter 3 and in verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now notice this phrase, and I am come down. Anytime you see in the Bible the phrase, and I am come down, or I will come down, get ready for the glory. Hallelujah. Get ready for the glory. Get ready for a manifestation of His presence, His power, and His goodness. And notice God says, I've seen their affliction. I know and I've seen of their sorrow. And that says to me, when God said, and I'll come down, there comes a place where God tells the adversary, enough is enough. Amen. Amen. I like that, praise God. And it says that He told Moses, I will come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Now, what do we see in verse 8? Number one, we see His manifested presence. If He's going to come down, then there's the manifested presence. What's He going to do? Deliver them. What is that? Manifested power. Not only that, but it's manifested goodness. Favor. In fact, He goes on and says, I will give this people favor. And the Bible says that He led them out of there, and He didn't lead them out empty-handed. He gave them the gold and the silver of the Egyptians. Hallelujah. That says to me, it's just not smart to mess with God or His people. Payback is around the corner. Can you say amen? So notice here, The glory of God came at a time when God's people were facing their greatest challenges. He said, I will come down. And once again, that is a reference of the glory of God about to be manifested. And then another time in which history records God's glory being revealed is when the children of Israel were struggling in the wilderness. And he told Moses to tell them, Exodus 16, verse 7, "And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord." They're struggling in the wilderness. And he says, tell them, in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord. If you keep reading that story, beginning there in Exodus 16, you will find that it resulted in supernatural provision. Hallelujah. When the glory of the Lord manifests, supernatural provision comes. Steve, I'm still talking to you today because I know where you're headed with this new direction in the ministry. And I had you on my heart yesterday when I was studying this. And I said, Lord, that's Steve and Go Ministries. And I'm believing in the name of Jesus. Since this is the year of the greater glory, you're about to experience greater supernatural provision in that ministry in the name of Jesus. Amen. And it's certainly not limited to him. That's available to anybody who'll grab hold of it. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I grab hold of that for myself. Amen. Every minister in here say, I lay hold upon that for my ministry, praise God. Supernatural provision. Hallelujah. And then later when God anointed Joshua to lead the people into battle and to possess the land which he had promised them, he told Joshua that he too could expect him to be with him just as he had been with Moses. Well, we just read about what happened when he was with Moses. The glory of the Lord was manifested in his presence, his power, and his goodness. And he told Joshua, you can expect the same. And he says in Joshua 1:5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Joshua 6:27, so the Lord was with Joshua. And regarding all his adversaries, God said in Joshua chapter 10 and verse 8, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not be a man of them that will be able to stand before you. Verse 10 says, and the Lord discomfited them. I looked up the word discomfited. It means to cause them to lose their composure. Hallelujah. To cause the enemy to lose their composure. Hallelujah. Isn't that cool? Amen. So it says, I will discomfit them and you will slay them with a great slaughter. Now the New Living Translation says, do not be afraid of them, the Lord said to Joshua, for I have given you victory over them. Not a single one of them will be able to stand up to you. The Message Translation says, don't even give them a second thought. I love that. Don't even give your adversary a second thought. Whatever you're going through right now, don't even give it a second thought, because God is promising you this is the year for a new wave of His glory. This is the time for His glory to manifest in your life in greater ways than you've ever experienced it before. And if you believe it and accept it, give the Lord your best shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I remember somebody walking up to Brother Copeland not too long ago, and our local news was just hammering Brother Copeland and, you know, criticizing him and all this. And they decided to put a full-page ad, you know, against Brother Copeland. Well, somebody on my staff asked me if I'd seen it, and I said no. So I read it and knew half of it, if not the majority of it, was a lie. Because I serve on the man's board. I've been with him for 45 years. And I knew most of this junk was not true, which only made me wonder, how much other stuff do we read in the paper that's not true, that they fabricate and make it say what they want it to say, you know. And so, you know, I know better than to ask Brother Copeland if he read it, because he won't read that stuff. But somebody, you know, we were together and somebody said, Brother Copeland, did you see what they put in the newspaper about you? And they also said something on our evening news, one of our local channels. I'll never forget what he said. It was like the message here. Don't give it a second thought. He said, no, I don't read that stuff. The only reason they do that, their ratings are down. Now, that's a man of faith. That's a focused man. That's a man who knows, hey, they can't hurt me. They can't destroy my ministry. It's like a woman called me one time and was upset about something. And she said, I want you to know I'm in the marketing business. I'm in public relations and I'll destroy your ministry. I said, ma'am, you can't do that. No one else can do it. Only person that can do that is me. And I don't intend to. So just shut your mouth and go your way. Write whatever you want to write. Publish whatever you want to publish. If you think you can destroy my ministry, you are a fool. The only one that can do that is me. And my mama didn't raise no fool. I ain't going to do it. Hallelujah. I worked too hard to establish this ministry as a ministry of integrity, and I'm not going to blow it here at the end. Hallelujah. Amen. So notice here, God says to Joshua, don't even give them a second thought. I will discomfit them. I'll cause them. See, God is saying, don't you lose your composure. I'll cause your adversary to lose his composure. Amen. Remember the time when the prophet found out that, you know, there was an ambushment set up? And he told the king about it? And God set up ambushments against their ambushments and caught them off guard. Amen. I'm telling you. If you don't get anything else out of what I say today, get this one revelation. God is smarter than thee. Amen. He's got you covered. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't give them a second thought. Not one of them will be able to stand up to you, God told Joshua. And then verse 10 in the Amplified says, and the Lord caused them to panic, the enemy. The Lord caused them to panic. Now listen to this. If you don't think God came down for Joshua, listen to this. Verse 11. The Lord cast great stones at them. Now, brother, when God's throwing rocks at you, you're in trouble. Amen? And God cast great stones at them. Wow. I believe that'd be a manifestation of his presence. Wouldn't you say so? Hallelujah. I'd say that was a great manifestation of the glory of God. God himself was throwing rocks at him. You could say he came down for Joshua just like he came down for Moses. Can you say amen? Amen. And once again, it was during a time when the children of Israel were facing great challenges. They were in battle. Now, he came down for Daniel when Daniel was in the lion's den. He came down for David when David faced the lion and the bear. And when David faced Goliath. And the many times that David faced enemies that totally outnumbered him and his men and his armies. He came down for Elijah. He came down for Elijah. And when it was time for him to deliver mankind from the bondage of Satan, he came down in the form of his own son, Jesus Christ. Come on, give the Lord a good shout. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says, speaking of Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory. The Bible calls Jesus the brightness of his glory. That means that Jesus was the glory of God personified. Hallelujah. Amen. And how did God deliver humanity? By coming down. Amen. Every time you see the phrase, he came down, get ready for the glory. Get ready for the glory. And he came down in the form of his son. Hebrews 1:3, once again, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So Jesus was the glory of God personified, and during his earthly ministry, those three major characteristics showed up throughout his ministry. The manifested presence of God, the manifested power of God, and the manifested goodness of God. The Lord showed me this back a few months ago. I had come home from meetings and got home and greeted my family, and then that night went to bed, and I was tired knowing I had to do television taping the next day, and so I went to bed. I was awakened in the wee hours of the morning, and it looked like, I just raised up in bed, and it looked like a neon sign in front of me. And it just kept flashing, Acts 10:38. I said out loud, "Lord, I know that verse." And I laid my head back down. I did. Well, I couldn't go back to sleep. I tried and I woke up and there it was again. Now, I'm not talking about a literal neon sign. I'm talking about a vision. And it was flashing again, Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38. I said, "Lord, I preach on that verse. There's no telling how many sermons I've preached from Acts 10:38. And I tried to go to sleep again. And I couldn't go to sleep. And I looked, and there it was again, Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38. So I got up. I knew, you know, the Lord wasn't going to let me sleep till I studied this out. There was something in Acts 10:38. Perhaps I hadn't seen it quite this way before that He wanted to show me. So knowing, I mean, I could quote it, but I went down to my study and I opened my Bible to Acts 10:38. Won't you go ahead and do the same right now? Acts 10:38. And when I read it this time, it hit me that right there are all those three manifestations of the glory of God, and it was operative, they were operative in Jesus' ministry during the entirety of His earthly ministry. Notice what it says. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. There's the manifested power. Isn't that one of the main characteristics of the glory of God? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. There's the manifested goodness of God, which is one of the major characteristics of the glory of God. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. There's the manifested presence. So right there, this bears witness with Hebrews 1:3 that Jesus was the brightness of the glory of God. And His assignment was, everywhere He went, to manifest God's glory in the form of His presence, His power, and His goodness. And He did, everywhere He went. The manifested presence, the manifested power, and the manifested goodness. You know, and I saw something yesterday. I'd never seen it quite this way before. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it talks about the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. That's what we're supposed to preach. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. In other words, Paul is saying we need to be preaching about the glory of God and get people's expectations up, that they too can experience God's presence, God's power, and God's goodness. Why? Because Hebrews 13 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a candidate for the glory of God. Say, I'm a candidate for His manifested presence, His manifested power, and His manifested goodness. And this is my year. Come on, give the Lord your best shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. It's still God's desire to manifest His presence. And once again, the word of the Lord for us this year, a new wave of my glory shall be seen. For this is my plan for 2014. And I don't think it's a coincidence that God has given us... Is my mic still on? I don't think this is a coincidence that God has given us this prophetic word when so many of God's people are facing their greatest challenges. Folks, I travel this planet from one end to the other. I see the body of Christ on a large scale. And they're hurting in other nations, some even worse than the believers are that are hurting in this nation. You know, I go, and one of the first things I want to find out about the nations I go to is the economy. Because I'm called to preach and teach on God's laws of prosperity, the favor of God on your finances. And everywhere I go, I don't care what nation it is, they're struggling financially as well. And many of them, God's people. Amen. Here in our nation, particularly since 2008, Many of God's people have been suffering financially. Many of God's people have lost their hard-earned savings and earnings, and many have lost their homes, and many lost their jobs, and many are having to take on two or three part-time jobs just to make ends meet. Husbands and wives both, in most cases, are having to be involved in full-time employment and try to raise a family and just try to keep things together. It has been some tough times for a lot of God's people. Well, sounds like to me be a good time for the glory to show up. I don't think you heard me. I think it's a good time for the glory to show up. Amen? The glory of God, His manifested presence, His power, and His goodness, praise God. And God is telling us, this is the time for the greater manifestations of it. If you're going through your worst financial attack, get ready. You're headed for your greatest financial testimony. Hallelujah. Your greatest financial breakthrough. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, I'm preaching myself. I was happy when I got here, but I'm getting happier. Hallelujah. If you happen to be one of them that is facing your greatest challenges, then I say to you today, stay in faith. Stay strong in the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't let go of the Word of God. Take this prophetic word and wage a warfare with it. Tell the devil, I'm not giving up. In fact, I'm not even giving you a second thought. I got my mind on Jesus. I got my mind on the Word of God. And none of these things move me. And I fully intend to have my year the greater. I fully intend to have the manifestation of the glory of God. So devil, if it's a fight you want, you're going to get one. But when the dust settles, me and God will still be standing. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. 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 I discovered this verse a few days ago, even though I've read it many times, but it took on new meaning a few days ago. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40 and verse 5, this verse tells me that God, I know this and you know this, but it just reinforced it, that God, when He speaks a prophetic word, He fully intends to back it. Amen. God doesn't say things just because He's trying to fill up a book. Amen. And God doesn't give prophetic word because He can't think of anything else to do with all His time. He fully intends to back every word that comes out of His mouth. And Isaiah 40 verse 5 says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed." See, that was the prophetic word. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And the last part of that verse says, why? Because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Hallelujah. Well, my name's not Isaiah the prophet, nor is it Jeremiah the prophet. Well, it could be because Jerry is a derivative of Jeremiah. I'm not Ezekiel the prophet. I'm not Joel the prophet. But the prophetic anointing is on my life. I don't say things unless I know I heard Jesus say them. And He told me this is the year of the greater glory, and the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, and it shall be revealed. If you believe it, receive it, lift your hands and say, I receive it, hallelujah. I receive it, hallelujah. Amen. And then God goes on to say through the prophet Isaiah, that if there is one thing that is certain, and if there is one thing you can count on when everything else fails, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Hallelujah. The word of our God shall stand forever. One of the meanings of the word stand is to remain in effect or to remain in force, which simply means no matter how long it takes, no matter what's going on around you, if God says it, you just hide and watch. It will come to pass. Hallelujah. Amen. Is it going to work for everybody in the body of Christ, Brother Jerry? Well, God wants it to. I certainly wish it would, but no, it won't. Oh, well, then he's a respecter of persons. No, he's a respecter of faith. Hebrews chapter 4 says very clearly that those who do not mix faith with the word preached, it will not profit them. Amen. You got to mix faith with this. If all you do is walk out of here and say, what a good little sermon that little preacher gave us. Wasn't that a good little sermon? And that's the end of it. It's not likely to profit you. But if you walk out of here, praise God, with a fire of God in your eye, the word of God in your mouth, stirred up in your heart, and walk out here and say, the word of the Lord has been spoken, I receive it, I mix my faith with it, get ready, it's going to come to pass, the glory will be revealed in your life, and I'm talking about before the year is up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I think we ought to shout a little more. Praise God. Amen. And I can testify to you, to the glory of God, this began working in my life and ministry from the moment God spoke it to me. I'm already having a year of the greater. I'm already experiencing greater manifestations of His presence, His power, and His goodness. Hallelujah. Amen. And the year's not even up. In fact, I started experiencing it. I mean, the Lord gave me this in October 2013. I began preaching it to our church, spent 6 weeks on this with our church, and it started happening immediately in my ministry and in my life personally. And it hasn't let up. Do you suppose it has anything to do with the fact that I believe this stuff? Amen. Nudge your neighbor and say, he really believes this stuff. Hallelujah. And then add, so do I. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, you know, the Lord gives me a prophetic word every year. And every year it comes to pass in my life without fail. Without fail. I remember last year he said that it would be a year of unprecedented favor. And it was. Hallelujah. The year before that he said, it'll be a year in which your highest expectations will be fulfilled. Amen. And they were, praise God. I mean, just amazing. And I have my entire staff talking this every day. Amen. We don't just hear it once and say, oh, hallelujah, we sure hope it happens. No, if you want to stay working in this ministry, get in faith with me, hallelujah. Amen. Get in faith with me. You know, I don't want no doubting Thomases on my staff. Amen. I remember years ago when I first started, I had an accountant, an office manager who was taking care of all of our finances and discovered that he was misappropriating funds. And so I went to him about it. He denied it, but I had the evidence that he was. So I said, you know, you don't give me any choice, because he wasn't repentive. He wouldn't even acknowledge that he did it and wouldn't back down from lying about it. So I said, well, you don't give me any choice but to let you go. So I let him go. And then I prayed. I said, Lord, I'm out here preaching my little heart out, doing my best to bless people and to teach them the Word of God. Why did you let that man in my ministry? I'll never forget what he said. I had my Judas, you had yours. I said, I don't want everything you got, just the good stuff. Amen. I just want the good stuff, praise God. But, you know, it taught me something, and we learned from that and went on and never had that problem again, praise God. So, once again, the word of the Lord shall stand. If God says it, it will stand. You just need to mix your faith with it. It will come to pass. I can promise you that if you mix your faith with it, then you're going to begin to see. I'm talking about during the course of this year. You know, in that visitation in 1981 that I mentioned earlier about Jesus coming into my hotel room and the Shekinah glory of God, my wife witnessed it. She was in the bedroom of the suite that we had. Brother Copeland furnishes us a suite when we're preaching those conventions, a bedroom and a living room and all, you know, because he knows I'm the same way he is. He's the same way I am. You know, bed, we get to it. Sleep, we get to it if we have time. Because I'm usually up all night praying and studying, and I don't want to disturb Carolyn from getting her rest. So, you know, we have a two-room suite. And so many times I wind up sleeping on the sofa because I've been up all night with the Lord. I've never required a lot of sleep anyway. I've averaged 4 hours of sleep a night since I was 14 years old. Give me a one-hour power nap, and I'm good for another month. Hallelujah. You know? And so, anyway, in that visitation, when the Shekinah glory of God came into that living room where I was, Carolyn had gone into the bedroom to rest. But it awakened her. She opened the door and said, "What's going on in here?" and was consumed by the glory of God. She just sat down right there, and we both just basked in it until it lifted. And then just looked at each other and said, "My, what have we just experienced?" Now, I didn't ask for that. I didn't know it was going to happen, you know. But boy, when it did, it certainly was a life-changing experience. Now, the message God gave me in that visitation was this. It was a prophetic word. He said, "My people are in financial famine." And he said, "And I'm going to give you the keys, the spiritual laws that will bring them out. And I'll hold you responsible for preaching it everywhere you go." And then he gave me the keys to overcoming financial famine. And it all began in Genesis chapter 26 with Isaac. And it said, "And Isaac sowed in famine, and he reaped 100-fold in the same year." And he said, "You tell the people, wherever you preach this, if they'll lay hold upon it, mix their faith with it, I'll give them the blessing of Isaac." Which means 100-fold in the same year. Now, this was October. If this happens in the same year, God, you got 2 months. And then he said, "Now you set the example for the people." And so he told me what to do. There were 10 major divisions of my ministry at that time. And he said, "I want you to sow $1,000 out of every division of your ministry into Brother Copeland's ministry, because my ministry was in famine." You say, "Well, if you had $1,000 in 10 different outreaches, that's not famine." It is if you need $1 million. You know? I mean, and one of them was my television ministry, and that was the last $1,000 I had for TV. So I'm in famine. You know? Because if you've never been on television, 200 stations, or 200 nations around the world are watching your television broadcast, thou don't know what expensive is. So I'm in famine with my television ministry. I was in famine with my missions outreaches. I had $1,000 that I could, so I did. I had a little more than $1,000 in the missions department, but I sold $1,000 out of it. And then I was believing for my next airplane. I'd given my other one away. And I had $1,000 in an aviation department. You can't buy a lawnmower with wings for $1,000. Amen. So I sold that $1,000 on my aviation department. And I went through every department. And I wrote individual checks. $1,000 for missions. $1,000 TV. $1,000 aviation. $1,000 this and $1,000 that. And then Carol and I were believing God to begin building our dream home. And so I took $1,000 out of my personal account. And it was low, you know. And we walked over that meeting and fully intended that after the service, because I didn't know God was going to call on me and have me preach the meeting that night, because I knew Brother Copeland always closed out the convention on Saturday night. So I was going to go up to him afterwards and just sow $1,000 in 10 departments and personally into his ministry. Well, when the Lord told him, "Jerry, God visited you tonight or today. Come on up here and tell us what he said." Well, I thought, "Well, God, apparently you want me to do this publicly." So when I got through preaching it, And man, the anointing of God was so strong in that place, I still have people to this day giving me testimonies of what happened to them in that meeting, what happened to them in that year of 1981. Then I just said, now, Brother Copeland, I'm going to start this, and Carol and I are sowing $1,000 into your ministry out of aviation, $1,000 out of TV, $1,000 and all went down through the 10 departments, and $1,000 out of our lives personally. Now, that was October of 1981. And God told me to tell the people that you will experience the blessing of Isaac, which means a hundredfold in the same year. And it's October. Well, the next week, I'm preaching with Kenneth Hagin in Tulsa. And I wasn't preaching that night. Brother Hagin was preaching, and he's preaching along there, and he just stopped. And he said, Brother Jerry, the Lord just told me to do something that I've never done before, and I'm giving you my airplane. And he gave me his airplane, which was valued at that time at approximately just under $200,000. Let's see now. I gave $1,000 out of my aviation department, and I get a $200,000 airplane in 1 week. I'd call that hundredfold in the same year. In that same meeting, a couple came up to me who lived in Canada, owned a business in Canada, walked up to me and said, Brother Jerry, God spoke to us to do this to you for you months ago, and we were just waiting until we got in this meeting knowing you were going to be one of the speakers, and God told us to put this into your television department, and it was the first check I had ever received in my ministry, the first check, first time I'd ever received in my ministry, a check, only one time, $100,000. I'd call that a hundredfold in the same year. Before December 31st had come, I had received a hundredfold off of every $1,000 check that I had sown. Now, somebody comes up and say, well, you know, we tried and it didn't work. Well, hey, you too late for me. Amen. You too late for me. I didn't try it. I did it. And I had people say, now, Brother Jerry, are you sure God wants us to have a hundredfold in the same year? And I had to do like Joshua. Don't even give it a second thought, because those seeds planted in your mind can rob you of your harvest. Yeah, but it's only 2 months, Brother Jerry. Well, what about the prophet who stood up that time and said, this time tomorrow? At least God gave me 2 months, not tomorrow. I felt pretty secure, praise God, you know? Amen. You know, most of God's people don't want to hear this part right here, but you're not most of God's people. They don't want the responsibility. You know? If it doesn't happen, it's not their fault. Of course, if it does happen, we want all the glory. Is it because of me? But if it doesn't happen, well, I didn't believe it to start with. Well, maybe that's the reason it didn't happen. Amen. I want all the people in here this morning who truly believe that God wants you to experience His glory in a greater way before this year is up, to lift your hands and give Him a great shout. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Everybody stand up. Come on, everybody stand up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 My challenge to you this morning is lay hold upon this. Go out of here talking about it. What you really believe, you talk about. good or bad, negative or positive. If you really believe negative things are going to happen, you talk about it. You tell everybody. Yeah, you know, they're laying people off down there. I'll probably be next. I'm talking about the person that talks negative all the time. They believe it. You know, yeah, everybody's getting the flu in our neighborhood. You know, we're probably next. And then when they get it, I don't understand how come we got the flu. I do. You prophesied it on yourself. And then on the positive side, I don't understand why God keeps doing all this stuff for Jerry Savelle. I do. I believe what he says. I expect it. And God does it. Hallelujah. You and I really have the easy part. We don't have to make it happen. We just have to believe he can, believe he will, and he's the one that makes it happen, praise God. But we do have a part. We mix our faith with it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So I want to challenge you, lay hold upon this. Walk out of here this morning talking about it. Rejoice over it every time you think about it. Get up every day expecting it to happen. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Be seated for just another couple of seconds, or minutes rather. I was reading a book yesterday after I got through praying and studying, and then after I read this book, I couldn't help but take some excerpts from it because it went right along with what I'm talking to you about. Jonathan Edwards, many years ago, Jonathan Edwards said way back in his day, God is passionate about his glory. Listen to that. God is passionate about his glory, about manifesting his glory. Jonathan Edwards lived over 250 years ago, but his statement remains true even today. God is passionate about manifesting his glory. Say that with me. God is passionate about manifesting his glory. Jonathan Edwards went on to say, listen to this, man, this is so good. God desiring to reveal his glory is about seeking the good of his creatures, mankind. It's all about the happiness of his creatures or mankind. That's what the glory of God manifesting is all about. It's God seeking the happiness of his people. Hallelujah. In other words, when God manifests his presence, his power, and his goodness, it's not about him doing it for himself. It's not just so he can show the universe how powerful he is. He don't have to remind himself of how powerful and mighty he is. He does it with this in his mind, your happiness. God wants you happy. And you know when you are the happiest? When you just had a breakthrough. When you just had a turnaround. When God has done something good for you. Hallelujah. Well, here's his word. 2013, a new wave of his glory, greater manifestations of it. And here's the reason why. He wants to make you happy. Hallelujah. He wants to make you laugh again. He wants you to remain full of joy again. He don't want you going to bed every night trying to figure out what you're going to do. How are we going to meet this need? How are we going to do this? He wants you going to bed at night with the joy of the Lord on your mind, the joy of the Lord in your heart, and you just spend all night thanking him for his goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God desiring to reveal his glory is about seeking the good of his creatures. Excuse me. It's all about the happiness of his creatures. I wrote down, I'd say it like this. It's God pouring out his love, his mercy, his goodness, his favor, his loving kindness, just so our lives will be better. Amen. Just so our lives will be better. That's just God's nature. And that's why the Bible says he is good. That's the nature of God. I heard a minister say a number of years ago, and I was reminded of it when I was making my notes here, and he said this. Man, it's a powerful statement. You got your notebook ready?
Yes, sir.
God is committed to the joy of His people. Think about that. God is committed to the joy of His people. See, I can understand that. Because you can ask my children, you can ask my grandchildren, you can ask my wife. I am committed to making my family's life better. I'm committed to the joy and the happiness of my family. That's the way any good father would be. A good husband would be. Amen? You know, I want my wife extremely happy. I want my children extremely happy. I want them extremely prosperous. I want them extremely blessed. I don't want them ever having to worry about anything. Now, both my girls, now they're 46 and 45 years old now. Bless me with 7 grandchildren. And they still say to this day, we can remember when we were little girls, and every time we had a challenge or every time we had a problem, we'd go to Daddy and he'd say, don't worry, sweetheart. Daddy will fix it. Daddy will fix it. What was I doing? I'm committed to their joy. I'm committed to their happiness. I'm committed to making their lives better. And you know, they're 46 and 45 years old now, and when the devil is attacking them and they need somebody to stand in faith with them, they go because they say, we know Daddy will fix it. Amen? Daddy will fix it. Well, that's the way I'm about my Heavenly Father. Amen? Daddy will fix it. I like what I heard Jesse Duplantis say one time. He went on all these television stations, got his first bill for all this increased television exposure, and it was huge. I mean, it was the largest bill he'd ever experienced in his ministry. He looked at that and he said, God, you got mail. Hallelujah. Amen. Daddy fix it. You know, Daddy fix it. Praise God. Amen. God is committed to your joy. Doesn't that make you want to stand up and shout, praise God? That God is committed to bringing joy into your life. And that's why He wants to manifest and reveal His glory to you during the course of this year. If you're going through your greatest challenges, it's not over yet. Because history proves that when God's people are going through their greatest challenges, just watch. That's when the glory of the Lord is revealed, and you're about to experience the glory of the Lord. Will you receive this word from the Lord this morning? Will you let it lodge deeply in your heart and determine you're not going to let the devil or anybody else take it from you? If so, then stand up and then look at somebody and tell them in a loud voice, I am about to see His glory. And give the Lord a good shout of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We rejoice in your goodness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen. Now, if you are one of those that are facing some of your greatest challenges right now, not to embarrass you, but would you just hold your hand up so we can stand in faith with you? All right, look around. Believers, look around. If you see somebody with a hand up, get your hands on them right now. Get your hands on them. As many of you as can reach them, get your hands on them and start praying in the Spirit for them right now. And I want you to pray that the word of the Lord they've heard this morning will be confirmed in their lives with signs following, and they will experience His glory before this year is up. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Father. I join my faith with every one of them that they will see your glory. It will be revealed in the way of your presence, your power, and your goodness before this year is up. I pray that you will help them, Holy Ghost, to remain strong, to remain encouraged, to remain unwavering and determined to hold fast to your word, Heavenly Father, until the glory is revealed. And I give you praise for it
in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Let's all praise the Lord together. Let's praise the Lord together. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Would you go ahead and be seated for a moment? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We rejoice. How many of you know when somebody gets the joy of the Lord, it's contagious? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Man, if you could see in the Spirit what is happening right now. God is rearranging some things, manipulating some things, changing the course of things. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you want me to receive the offering this morning for the JSMI? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Let him that is taught in the word, this is a Bible principle. And notice I'm reading from Galatians, not First Jerry. Let him that is taught in the word, have you been taught in the word this morning?
Yes, sir.
Communicate. Now, that word communicate here is much deeper than just walking up to the preacher afterwards and saying, great sermon, I was taught some good things this morning. That is a form of communication. But in the literal Greek and in some other translations, it's actually worded contribute, support. Amen. Let him that is taught in the word contribute, support. Sow a seed unto him that teacheth in all good things. And then it goes on to say, and don't be deceived, because God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God says, I will honor you because you honored my spiritual principles. This is a spiritual principle. You know, if I go down to, you know, you have a Red Lobster or Olive Garden or something here in town, or what's a Red Lobster? Okay, if I go down to Red Lobster and eat, and they serve me a great meal, and I walk out of there talking about, man, that was a great meal, I'm full, and then I go down to McDonald's and pay for it. McDonald's didn't have anything to do with this. Amen. And I don't think Red Lobster would appreciate it. Where are you going? Well, I'm going down there and pay McDonald's for the meal I just had. Well, wait a minute. They're not the one that prepared the meal. They're not the one who served the meal. Amen? That's like Jesse and I got so tickled. Jesse's the one that noticed it before I did. There was a lady came up to me. She said, Brother Jerry, I'm telling you, the messages you preached on favor last year at the Believers' Convention, I'm telling you, changed my life. I was losing everything. God turned it around, and I'm more prosperous today than I've ever been. And she said, now I've got a check for $25,000 I'm giving Brother Copeland.
Yeah.
Well, at least she kept it in the family. And I said, well, that's wonderful, praise God. I was happy, praise the Lord, you know. I rejoice with him when good things come to him. But afterwards, Jesse said, now, that don't make sense. I said, what? He said, I really didn't, it didn't dawn on me until Jesse said, you fed her, and she paid Brother Copeland for it. I said, well, that's fine. Praise God. If it wasn't for Brother Copeland, I wouldn't have anything to say anyway, because he was my first mentor, you know. But at the same time, there is a principle there. God is saying, he that teaches you, it is a scriptural thing to expect from you communication, contribution, support, seed sowing, Amen. And then God says, and if you'll honor this principle, I'll honor you and I'll multiply your seed sown. Amen. Don't let anybody ever tell you that seed time and harvest is some man-made doctrine. The Bible says God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. So this is a spiritual principle. I'm not a preacher who manipulates. I don't play on people's emotions. I don't have gimmicks. I didn't bring any holy water from Jerusalem. And if you'll contribute $100, I'll give you some. That's not the way I operate. You know, like a guy I heard on the radio one time years ago, a preacher. You know, he had all these different color ribbons for whatever you needed. And if you send $25, he'll send you a yellow ribbon so you'll be healed. Just carry that yellow ribbon around with you and you'll be healed. If you need money, you got a green ribbon that he'd send you. You know, if you're believing for family to get saved, he had a blue ribbon or whatever. And then he spent the next part of his broadcast begging for money. But folks, if you folks don't give, we're going to have to go off the radio. And I'm listening to him, and I just screamed at my radio, screaming at him, get one of them ribbons. He didn't even believe his own message. He didn't even believe his own con, you know. He's just conning other people. So I don't have any gimmicks. I base everything I do on the Word of God. And for 45 years, it's kept me in good stead. Hallelujah. So, I've endeavored to teach you this morning what the Lord said for me to bring to you. And your responsibility now is that you communicate with he that is taught in the form of sowing seed. Amen. If you don't have any seed to sow, then write on a piece of paper. The only seed I have this morning is prayer. I will pray for you and your ministry. That's a good seed. Amen. That's how I started Brother Copeland. I didn't have one dime I could put in the man's ministry. And I wrote him a letter. I said, I don't have any money to put in your ministry at this time. But I have the first hour of my day that I'll pray for you, and that's my seed. That's right. Well, God honored that. And I say to the glory of God, since that day, I've been able to put over $1 million in his ministry. Amen. And it started with prayer. Yes. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. So what do you suppose God and where God will take you if you're obedient? Amen. Father, I have taught them the word. And now I ask you to reveal to them what would be appropriate and right in your sight in the support of this ministry, Chariots of Light, and all the other outreaches of Jerry Savelle Ministries International. Lord, we are indeed a soul-winning ministry. We are indeed a worldwide ministry. And we are indeed actively involved in discipling people in the Word of God so they can become the winners that you've called them to be and make you attractive to the rest of the world. So their seed will go much further than just right here. It will touch lives all over the world. I pray in Jesus' name that the seed they sow, according to Galatians chapter 6, will produce a harvest. I'm praying that it will be a harvest based on Mark chapter 4. Since I believe they're sowing into good ground, that they can expect a minimum of 30-fold increase, even possibly 60-fold, and even the potential of 100-fold. And I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, if you need an offering envelope, the ushers have an offering envelope if you're sowing in cash. And you can take one of those offering envelopes, put your name and address so our office back home can send you an accurate receipt for it. If you're making out a check, you can make it out to Jerry Savelle Ministries International or just abbreviate JSMI. Okay? Praise the Lord. Everybody happy? Yes. Amen. Amen. Let me mention to you, as you're making out your checks or your offering envelope, there's a lot of new resources back on the, what we call the impartation table, not just a tape table, still people here. And it's designed to help you in your spiritual growth. And of course, one of the things that our ministry is known for around the world is our teaching on the favor of God. So we produce a lot of resources on the subject of favor. This is my newest book, just came out last month, and it's entitled The Spirit of Favor on Your House. Hallelujah. What a powerful revelation. I thank the favor of God wants you to have it. And then here's another new series, Surrounded by Favor, 2 CDs. How to Expect God's Favor in Your Life, 3 CDs. Here's the Spirit of Favor that goes right along with the book, 3 CDs on that. 2 volumes of where I taught this in our church back home about 2014, the year of the greater, volume 1, volume 2. Covers a whole lot more than what I'm able to cover in one service. This one's a brand new one, Experiencing the Goodness of God All the Days of Your Life. How many of you believe God wants to do something every day in your life? Every day. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. Well, if it's all the days, I'd have to be every day. Hallelujah. Amen. And then another new book that just came out a couple of months ago, Why God Wants You to Prosper. The truth about godly prosperity. It's not just to hoard up on ourselves. God wants to bless us financially so that we can be a blessing to humanity, so that we can be a blessing to the kingdom of God. And so we call that prosperity with a purpose. One of my first books on the favor of God, not the first, but one of the first books on the favor of God, in there is a chapter about the 10 major benefits of favor, which is an exciting study, praise God. And then this is one of my favorite books. I've written over 70 books. This is one of my favorite ones. And it's entitled In the Footsteps of a Prophet. And it's all the things I learned from Kenneth Copeland the first 3 years I was in the ministry and working as his associate minister. The Lord told me the day I went to work, actually, before I moved to Fort Worth, He said, you watch, you listen, you observe, and then you take notes on everything you learn from him. Because one day, He told me, before I ever went to work with him, one day you'll write a book about all you've learned from him and you'll call it In the Footsteps of a Prophet. 30 years later, I wrote the book. And it's got all those wonderful principles that I learned from him. Young man, I think the Lord would have me to bless you with that. Okay? Hallelujah. All right. And then for ministers, we have a Minister's Manual, Volume 1, Volume 2. Now that I've been in the ministry 45 years, I think I have some things to say to young ministers. Praise God. And we're believing that this next generation of ministers, contrary to what it looks like right now, are going to be godly men. And not just showmen, not just entertainers, and not just motivators, and not just, you know, mega-minded, but reaching people not only through the Word, but through godly living as a major example. Amen? And then if you don't receive our magazine on Adventures in Faith, it comes out quarterly. It's free, no subscription rate. Just fill out one of the cards back there, and our office will see to it that you begin to receive copies of it. There's all kind of Church of Light material back there, shirts, T-shirts. You don't have to be a member to get it. This, the purchasing of this, the proceeds go into helping us send our teams into all the major secular rallies across the country. They just came back from Sturgis before coming here. Over 3,500 decisions for Christ in 1 week in Sturgis, praise God. Amen. And next year is the 75th anniversary for the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. They're expecting 1 million people to show up. They already have over 500,000, sometimes as many as 750,000 people. And so we've decided, God put it in Bill's heart, and I jumped on it immediately, praise God, in agreement. And we're believing, since it's their 75th anniversary next year, and there could be 1 million people there, we're believing for 7,500 souls. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. So your purchasing things like this helps send the teams there. They're going to go and stay 2 weeks next year instead of 1 week, and this will help get them there, praise God. So there's Church of Light T-shirts. Here's what we call a work shirt, you know, a mechanic shirt, praise God. And that's pretty cool, amen. Chariots of Light. And then there's ball caps. And then, ladies, there's some with some bling on it, hallelujah. You know, This is Bill's favorite shirt, but we won't let him wear it. Praise the Lord. And ball caps and all kind of cool stuff back there. And listen, if there's any of you guys or ladies that want to be part of Church of Light, we'd love to have you as a member. We only have three requirements. Number one, you have to have a passion for God. Number two, you have to have a passion for souls. Number three is the least of the three, a passion for motorcycles. We don't let that one get ahead. The motorcycles is just a tool. It's a chariot to get us there and to shine as lights. Amen. So if you're interested in becoming a member, talk to somebody who's got a vest on and they'll tell you how to become a member. Praise God. What a great time I've had with you this morning. You're an awesome, awesome group of people. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, Pastor Mark, I'm going to turn it back to you.
Thank you for listening to Christ Church International's podcast. We would like to invite you to come join us sometime soon. We meet Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. at the Byrne Building, 527 Main Street, Longmont, Colorado. You can find out more about our ministry by going to www.christchurchinternational.org or www.innercourt.com. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 2125, Longmont, Colorado, 80502.